The Lord seemed to speak to us personally about some things, and other things are more corporate. And just one of the things the Lord's been speaking to me about is just to slow down, and you know, because when I'm working, it's all rush, rush. It's all fast paced. The pressure's there to get everything done. And the Lord just saying to me, Roger, just slow down. And even today, last weekend we were helping our son to move house from Buckinghamshire back to Suffolk. And he hired a van. Sarah took the camper van, and I took my work van. And I got home today, and there was a speeding fine from the police, where I got caught on a camera, for doing a 70 mile an hour in a 60. Well, it is a 70 mile an hour, but the van should only be doing 60, apparently, not 70. So it's just emphasizing to me, to the Lord, just saying, just slow down. So hopefully what I bring tonight, I'm going to try and not rush.
Okay.
So
Slowly, slowly.
slowly, slowly, yes. So if we could turn to Revelation chapter 1.
Revelation chapter 1. Oh.
So the Revelation, the book of the Revelation. Now,
One.
what is the Revelation? What is the Revelation? What is it about? Is it just about the end times? What is it? One of the words for the book of Revelation is the apocalypse. And it literally translates the unveiling, the disclosure, or the revelation. So if you look at the verse 1, this tells you about what the revelation's all about. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of him. It's all about him and his dealings with mankind. And so we're going to read from, if we go down chapter 1 to verse, from verse 9, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." Praise God. This is the this is John the Apostle in his old age on the island of Patmos, and he was there when the Lord was walking on the earth, and he knew him and was with him, and was a close friend and disciple of the Lord's. And here we see he has this revelation of him, the resurrected, ascended Christ, the glorified Christ. And this is a picture of the glory of the Christ. And we know that if we go back into the beginning of the New Testament, we see a different Jesus. We see him come as a babe, he's born as a weak, helpless babe in the manger. He comes to earth, and in the city of in the town of Bethlehem, and there he is, the weak and the helpless babe. The angel says to Mary that you should call him Jesus, which means he shall save his people, the Savior. And yet he only has the potential to save at that point. He's just a babe, and he's not fully developed. He's not at that point in time, but he comes as a weak, helpless babe. And then we see him grow up in the book of Luke. It talks about Jesus when he's 12 years old. He goes up to Jerusalem, and he's there at the feast, the Passover feast, and he seems to be separated from Mary and Joseph, his parents, and they go looking for him, and three days later they find him in the temple, and he's there with the teachers, and he's there listening and discussing, and he's there amongst them, learning and developing in his young age, and he's there, and they ask him, why have you done this to us? And he says to them that I must speak about my father's business. He even then, in his young age, he's learning that he has a ministry. He has something which he's been called to do. And then it goes on from there to Jesus. It doesn't say too much about his life in the following years, but we know that he became a carpenter, and he worked with his hands. He learned a trade. He learned his trade with his father, with Joseph. It wasn't really his father, but earthly father. Yes, thank you, dear. And he was there learning and developing and growing in grace. He found favor with men and with God. And the next time we see the Lord's as he, at the age of 30, we see him at the baptism. John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan, and Jesus comes to be baptized of John, and he prays, and they're descending from heaven is the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, and there's a voice from heaven, and this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He hasn't even done anything. He's just been there, working and living amongst, the people he goes out from there to the wilderness, and there he's tempted of the devil, and, after 40 days, he comes back in power to minister, to preach to the people. And he goes around and, he ministers, and he does good. He heals the sick. He casts out demons, and, he's there to preach the gospel, to draw people to the Lord, to the Father, and he comes up into opposition with the religious people of the day, who seem to despise him, and we know that. He seems to draw people that are sinners and publicans, and the offscouring of society, those that nobody wants to be with. But there seems to be something about him which draws these people to himself, as time goes by. There's the religious authorities, the Pharisees and the chief priests. They plot to kill him, and after 3 years of ministering, they take him. They falsely accuse him, and he suffers. And dies, and oh, praise God! He did it all for love, and he dies on the cross for us. Praise God! And after he dies, they put him in a tomb. And after 3 days, death cannot hold him, and he comes, he's resurrected. So praise God, the resurrection. And here we are again, back in Revelation. This is many years later, he's ascended and glorified. And it says in verse 9, about John, who's in the Isle of Patmos. He's there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard a voice, a loud voice, as of a trumpet. And there's lots of figurative language in these few verses. And I think that he's trying to explain the glory of the Lord, but he's trying to use words and figures and types to sort of try to explain to something which is unexplainable in a way. And I know when I was younger, I used to have a fascination with fish. And I wanted to I used to keep fish as an aquarium, and but I wanted to sort of go and dive on the coral reefs, and I had this sort of longing to dive on the Barrier Reef, the Great Barrier Reef. And so as I was a young man, I joined a scuba diving club, and I went to this scuba dive club about 18 months to get trained up, to learn to sort of dive at a decent level. So when you go diving, you basically, you have to do so many dives before you became competent enough to sort of to do it as you're not reliant on someone. So you become what they call a sports diver. And after 18 months diving around the UK, which was pretty cold, and I went out to Australia to dive on the Barrier Reef. And I was on the Barrier Reef about a week doing dives, about two or three dives a day. And to be diving in on the Barrier Reef was one of the most unbelievable experiences I've ever experienced. To try to explain to you the myriads of fish and the coral reef and the sort of all the living things that are going on, the anemones, the sharks, the bull rays, and the shellfish, it's incredible to experience. But trying to explain to that to someone is almost like impossible, because you can't picture it unless you've experienced it. And in a way, this is what John is trying to explain: the glory which he's seeing in the Lord in this picture. He's using sort of things like, he keeps saying like, because he's trying to explain something so you can try and relate to it. So here he says, I am the Alpha, in verse 11, and the Omega, which my understanding is that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So it could be interpreted in the English, I am the A to the Z. I am I am the first of all words. Words began in me. This is what the Lord is saying. The Word began in himself. He is the first person to ever speak. He's the first person to ever praise and worship. He's the first person to ever say anything. Yeah, he is the Alpha. He's the beginning of all words. And when he spoke in the beginning, he brought things into being. His word is full of creative power, and it brings light in where there's darkness. He is the original spoken one. And then it says, I am the Omega, the end. My word is the final word. There is no buts, maybes. He speaks the final word. And his word is final. There is no excuse. He is the end. And it says there, I am the first and the last, which kind of reiterates again, you know, he has the preeminence. But he's also, he has the last. But it also could be, it also could mean that, you know, when he spoke in the Gospels about, I am, the first shall be last, in the sense that the least, I am the least, I am the most humble, I am the one who stoops down and serves and washes your feet. I'm the one who's, comes down the humble hearted, and the one who is, the lowly. I'm lowly of heart. He's also the first. He's the one who is, needs to be up there, up the front, to be glorified and magnified. What you see, write in a book. So I have to put my glasses on. And send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus. And there's the seven churches we've already read. And then I turned to see the voice. It's like the voice of a trumpet. And that spoke with me. And having turned, it's almost like the voice is behind him, and he turns around and he sees, first of all, the seven golden lampstands. These, we later read, are the seven churches. We know that if you read later on into the seven churches, that some of them seem to be, not doing very well. They seem to be, have gone astray. But here we see that they are still the seven, they're still seven golden lampstands. Even in their, fallen state, they're, some of them have got corrupted. But they're still, he still holds them. The golden lampstands, they're still his. He knows all about them. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. One pure garment, and around his chest is a band of gold, signifying the purity of him. His head and hair were white like wool, pure white. pure, the purity and a glory, just the brightness, which John is seeing, and his eyes are like the flame of fire. There's something piercing and about his eyes. He looks, and they see everything. They're not that you can't hide from the Lord's vision. He sees it all. He says that everything is naked before him, in before whom we have to deal with. We can't cover things up. His eyes are like the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His movement is like fine brass. He moves in a sturdy way. He's like brass, which is solid, and it's been refined in a furnace. And his voice has the sound of many waters. He has his voice is it causes us to tremble, because it's so awesome. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And this is his word is piercing. It is the word of God is alive and active. The word of God is quick. In some versions, quick and powerful. It pierces. It divides between the soul and spirit. It talks about that in Hebrews, where the word of God is like a double-edged sword. It pierces. It penetrates. It speaks to the very heart condition of us. And his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. The brightness of the sun. He's brighter than the sun. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This was the effect of seeing the glory of the Lord. But he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Praise God. I am he who lives and was dead. It's he who lives. He's the living one. He is alive. All that he does brings life. All that he says brings life. All that he is, he exudes life. And, he says, I was dead, the living one, the one who is the source of all life, became dead, became separate, he seemed to die, for a moment. He who is life became dead. And behold, he says, I am alive forevermore. Death cannot hold him. He seemed to die for a moment. He goes down, into the darkness of the unseen world, into Hades, and, he penetrates down into the darkness. He seems to draw him down like a magnet into the dark, unseen world. But he goes there and comes takes the keys of death and Hades, and up he rises, victorious, breaking the bands of death and of hell. And he makes a mockery of them in his glorious resurrection. He shatters the bands of death. He's conquered it, and there is no more death. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. He is victorious. And he says to John, he says to him, write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Praise God. He seeks to write these things for our edification. We just thank him for this. Praise God. I think I've just about reached where I wanted to get to. Should we just open our hearts to the Lord? Should we just do that?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you.
As Father, as we come to the end of another meeting together, Lord, where you can share thoughts. Lord, we heard Roger speaking to us about you, Lord, describing in a simple way your wonderful person, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you. In the depth of our heart, that we are privileged to know you, privileged to be called into this wonderful body of Christ, learning and knowing you, Lord. And Lord, we are full of expectation. Full of tears also and pain for what is taking place alongside in the world around us. We talked about the young people, the young generation, Lord. But so many things taking place. But this exhibition, not anymore of even human ambition, but more and more of satanic manifestation everywhere, Lord. People destroying people, lives in any way that there is, through warfare, through all sorts of malice, all sorts of addictions and things destroying. Lord, we see the need more than any time, Lord, that we that the gospel goes out in power. That the people may be reached, Lord. That your spirit may move in a deeper and powerful way, Lord, convicting the world for sin and for righteousness and for judgment, Lord. We need you so much, Lord. Our arguments are not good enough anymore. People laugh at us, Lord. But Father, send your spirit in there in a new and different way, in a powerful way, to move all over the world, Lord. It's a worldwide expression of sin in an unprecedented way, Lord, in a never-before way, Lord. We see it, Lord, and we talk about young people. Before, a few years back, we could say there was some kind of some kind of hope, perhaps, through some human efforts to restore, but not anymore. Not anymore, Lord. We see that there is a force behind it all that is moving the whole world, Lord, to destruction. And we know who is behind it all, Father. And we pray, all of us here, Lord, tonight, humbly, we bow our heads before you, Lord, and ask you, please, please continue to have mercy. Amen. All we need that we ask for you for mercy, Lord. Visit this world. Amen. They don't know you, Lord. They don't know. Mm. They don't know that they are led in a way that they think that they're clever. They don't realize that they are trapped by Satan into chaos and destruction.
Mm.
Father, have mercy, Lord, as you had mercy on our lives. You saved us. Have mercy, we pray, Lord. And save people from all classes, from all distinctions, from all parties, from all groups, from all ethnic groups, or whatever, Lord. Save people, Lord. We pray thee, move in your powerful way, Lord.
Yes.
This is the reason that you came. You came, Lord, to save. You came, Lord, to seek and find the lost. And save, Lord. So be that wonderful, mighty Savior, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, that we are just a bunch of people gathering together in your name.
Amen.
But please take this small meeting. It's not what we share, it's what we are to you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And use us. Use this small meeting. Make it a prayer that becomes powerful before your throne, Lord, and comes down on this world with voices and with power, Lord, that just can spread the good news, Father. Take us, Lord. Who are we, Lord? When we were nothing, you made something of us, Lord. Use us, Father. Use this small meeting. And our thoughts and our prayers, what we share, poor and limited as we are, Father.
Mm.
Blessed be your name, Lord. Glorify.
Amen. Amen.
Glorify your name, Lord. We cry unto you again and again. Again and again. Bless this outreach, Lord, that is about to taking place, Lord. Bless every outreach. Bless us all, Lord, that we may be your people that speak the truth around us, wherever we may be, Father.
Yes.
So here we are blessing you and thanking you for this meeting and asking you to bless us and continue, Lord, in working through us, Father. Wherever we are, whatever we are, please use us. Please use us, Father, to lift and glorify you.
Amen.
Oh.
We pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.